Hello, everybody, and welcome back to OMB Reviews. I am the critic who is a cynic. How is everyone doing this evening? Happy and blessed Tuesday, blessed fourth week of Lent, and welcome back to the channel. This is episode 487 of the Welcome to Asgard podcast, where tonight we're going to do a little bit of a debrief from this past weekend's Raven Awards. There was another award show happening. Apparently, someone walked out on stage nude just as a desperate attempt to get attention to himself, to the show, to his own show, whatever the reason might be. It's okay. This is where the Oscars are now. In addition to that, there really weren't a whole lot of surprises from what I have been told from people that actually watched it and actually had some care for it. So mostly we'll just be debriefing from the Ravens because we had a darn good time this past Sunday. If you missed the show, the replay is still available on YouTube, Odyssey, and Rumble. And one thing to note there is that YouTube did indeed give a copyright claim. So no strike on the channel or anything crazy like that, but definitely still a claim. So it's blocked in certain countries. I've obviously challenged it because the video in question was about a minute long, and it was featuring 10-second clips from movies used within the context of the award show, which to me clearly is a part of fair use, but we all know that YouTube doesn't really care about following the law because when it comes to people who are being pinged for violations of fair use and they get attacked, nothing happens to people who put these things out there. Nothing happens to the bots. Nothing happens to the corporations and the companies that have the algorithms that will just flag anybody for any reason. And so there's no true recompense. There's no true way to seek justice if you are on the receiving end of that. If you are a small fish in the giant ocean that is YouTube, yeah, you're just kind of left by yourself. But there's still a lot of positive things to talk about because it is still up. And if it is not available in your country on YouTube, that's why it's also up on Rumble and also on Odyssey as well. It's always great to multi-stream to these platforms, not only to give you an option of where to watch, of where to support, but also so that way the content stays out there, stays available. You can't stop the signal, as a great writer once wrote for an amazing movie. Anyway, before we go any further, though, please make sure you smash that like button, line up that fire button over on Odyssey, and smash the rumble button as well, and also share this video out as well, because it does help out with the algorithm. So first off, at 716, Lance, what's going on, Lance, here as a member at the Citizen of Asgard level. I believe this is his seventh month at that level, so thank you for re-upping. Wendy Hunter, what's going on, Wendy? Welcome back. Glad that you were able to join us for the Ravens a couple days ago and that you had a good time. Welcome to the weekly show. Snornapoopus Cuber, he's back. He's making it a habit now. Hello, humans and other quitters. What's going on, Snornapoopus? How's it going, bud? GMonkey76, what is going on? Kimberly G. Killian Shadowcat, Kimberly G saying, howdy, Odin mods and the chat. Happy Tuesday. Happy and blessed Tuesday to you as well. Today is the feast of St. Gregory the Great, one of the great popes in history. Also, it was the start of a nine-month novena being headed by Cardinal Raymond Burke of the United States. That started today. If you have any knowledge of it, I would recommend it highly. It is basically for our country and for our world in these crazy times, culminating in December on the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And so it's essentially trying to use prayers with a very specific intention in mind to, if not bring about a change in the world, bring about a change in our own minds and hearts, which is just as important. We got the R hanging out over on Rumble saying, hail, I hope you hope your back is better after your marathon show. Thank you. Yeah, as I mentioned on Sunday, my back had been hurting before. The show had been hurting for a week. Finally got to go see a doctor today and basically found out exactly what I thought it was. It's a lumbar strain. So clearly I pulled a muscle or something while probably playing with baby Thor last weekend, which is what caused it. It was weird for me just because it had been lasting for as long as it did. You know, I never had that kind of pain for a week before, but he did all the tests just to make sure it wasn't. Or at least it didn't seem to be any type of ruptured disc or any type of nerve damage or anything. All that is good to go. So I've got some pain meds and some muscle relaxers to use when I go to bed to help me sleep. But other than that, still feeling mostly the same, but overall feeling a lot better. R, thank you very much. If anything, my voice has been starting to go. My voice is a little tired. You know, obviously makes sense because it was a long show for me. I usually am not on that long these days. I used to do shows like that a lot more often, you know, in the 2+ hour scheme. But lately, yeah, it's just an hour 30, hour 45. And when I'm on Friday Night Tights for 2 hours, it's, you know, usually I'm not the one talking because it's sometimes hard to get in with that. By the way, shout out to Gary, who was featured on Piers Morgan's show, Uncensored with Piers Morgan. Shout out to him and Critical Drinker. They gave an amazing panel interview, and they did a great job representing not only the YouTube fellowship space, but also just showing, yeah, guess what? This is where it's at. This is where it's at. All right, let's see. King Gain Rumshki says, I'm prepared mentally. You better be. You better be. John Evan Baer tagged to say hello. Hello to you. Gary Banjo Sandwich Worthington, what's going on, brother? I still need to get that form ready. So that way people can start submitting nominations already for anything that they've seen so far. So that way no one has to worry about forgetting anything. I talked about this on Sunday for the Ravens stream. One of the things I'm going to try to add to, you know, kind of help the process a little bit. And that way we have a little bit of a short list going on. And then the short list allows us to, I think, more easily have nominations. The goal with that list is to be able to allow for more people to nominate next year. Because that's usually the hardest sell, is getting people to nominate things. Because it makes sense. You're like, okay, I don't know what to nominate. There's a lot of things I don't know. But if we have like a short list of, hey, here's what other people have recommended over the course of the year, it might help people if they are stuck. And also, you can still, of course, take your own examples that you find if you didn't add it in beforehand. Forever Sci-Fi, who is a member on the channel. What's going on, Forever Sci-Fi? Greyhawk Native, what's going on? John Evan Baer, time to say, doing pretty well. Glad to hear it. Gary. He tagged me. Jeremy Sikowski tagged to say, I send you a cleanup team to clean up Asgard after Godzilla swept the Raven Awards the other night. Asgard have become the new Jinza. Yeah, man. So for those that may have missed it, yeah, one of the big parts of that debrief is the fact that Godzilla Minus One swept the Ravens in almost, I think, every category it was nominated in. Of which it was nominated in all positive categories, it ended up winning, and sometimes by quite a large margin. And I mentioned it a little bit on the show itself, but I think a big part of that, it's not just because the film is good, because it is good, right? It is a solid film, no doubt about that. But at the same time, it is also a movie that I think was one of those few films that people actually went out of their way to go see in theaters. So I think there's a bunch of films that kind of got looked over because people either didn't want to see them, didn't have a chance to see them, and since the majority of people voting has seen Godzilla over some of the others, I think that might have been a part of it. So, but, you know, obviously that's the case. Also, I'm sorry I did not share out the link earlier on social media. I got all the things set up, I just forgot to share it out there. But we all know how social media is these days anyway. Not that would make too much of a difference. But for those that are here, I appreciate it. To the 25 people watching, you guys are awesome. Because I know there's always other things going on around this time. We got the man with the orange hat himself. What is going on, orange hat? Which reminds me, I mentioned this on the Discord, so I already announced the winners. As you all know, we also, last couple of years now, have had a Ravens bowling competition. So for those that don't know, there used to be something called Oscars bowling. This is back when the Oscars mattered more to me. And there used to be a podcast called Movie BS with Baron Snyder, which was an excellent podcast. I'm sad that they had to quit. At the same time, I might be a little happy because I think one of them has TDS at the very least. With that being said, it was still a very fun show. But one of the things that they created, and I think they got it from somewhere else, but they're the ones that I knew did it every year. What they did was they said, okay, there's 24 categories at the Oscars. So using those as points, I'm going to predict the winners in the 24 categories. My most confident being that 24th spot, because that's worth 24 points if I get it right. If I get all of them right, so 24, 23, 22, all those points together add up to a perfect score, which is 300, which is a perfect score in bowling. And so last couple of years, we've been doing that. People have been submitting it. So five people submitted their predictions, what they thought were going to win at the Raven Awards, the Superior show on Sunday night. And so first off, in third place was the man with the orange hat himself. So shout out to him. He had 148 points out of a possible 300. In second place was Mr. Roy, who I know has been hanging out as well. He had a score of 183, but easily in first place. And he was updating us all throughout the night with how well he was doing. Was, of course, Mr. Hardwick getting a score of 216 out of 300. And so I did announce that on the Discord Also wanted to remind everybody about it here. Their prizes have been chosen and have been shipped as of today. So y'all should be getting it within the next week. All right. I do fall behind sometimes, as the man with the orange hat says, so please be patient. But just put at Odin at the very beginning of your comment, at Odin, let me know you're trying to get my attention. It helps out quite a bit. Carl Jacobs, what's going on? I agreed. The Oscars jumped the shark a long time ago. I think it's interesting how I was watching one show the other day going over the different the ratings of the show and how they've changed over the years. And how back in, I think, 2014 was when it started to really slip. It's either then or like 2014 was the last big year they had. But I thought it was interesting because it's like, oh yeah, just about the time things were starting to get more and more political, with, of course, the peak of that being when 2016 happened, because then it was just complete TDS, and everything since then has just not been able to match up to it, hasn't been able to get back to any standard. For me, I forget if it was 2014 or not, but the year that Obama, that I think it was Michelle Obama, announced Best Picture, that was the year where I was like, okay, I'm done. Like, why is the president and the first lady of the United States announcing the winner for Best Picture? Why is this now becoming? And, you know, obviously you can see signs of it prior to that, but it was like, okay, beforehand, you usually wouldn't hear stuff like that unless someone who won documentary feature was talking, or short film was talking, short subject documentary, right? That's usually where the political statements were made. You'd sometimes get it here and there with some of the bigger categories, but most of the time it was just people being thankful, being surprised, being, you know, heartfelt, and it was fun, it was good. And just, it got to a point, though, where every single thing just became so over-politicized. Even this one couldn't avoid it. The fact that Jimmy Kimmel got so triggered that he had to essentially go out of his way just to bring up the fact that Donald Trump had spoken about him on Truth Social. Like, oh my goodness, these people need help. Hugo M says, Odin, I was very pleased that my boy Jeremy won Shill of the Year again. Hashtag 199. Yeah, dude, he did. Jeremy from Geezy Gamers is now a two-time Shill of the Year champion. And he's 2 for 2. All right. John Campia is a 6-time nominee and has never won once. Even though I think he deserves it more than anyone else, the fact that he has lost every single year to somebody else, just, I don't know, there's something very nice about that. There's something very nice about that. Because he's still nominated, which means he's still one of the Shills of the Year. But yes, the community has spoken once again. Hopefully people move on from it next year. I think it's been funny the last couple of years, but unless he really goes hard supporting something in the future, it'd be nice to have some other names in there. But hey, who knows? Who knows? I can't tell y'all how to vote or how to nominate. All right. Let us see. Ambrose Chamberpot, what's going on? Welcome. There's one of the champions himself, Mr. Hardwick. Super Anime Gamer says, hey, what is up, my dude? What's going on? Appreciate it. Kagan Rumsky, great job as per usual on the Ravens. Well, thank you. Thank you. I definitely like having the PowerPoints. It definitely helps me in and throughout that process. If you are looking for it, a little bit of the debrief, if you maybe missed the Ravens this past weekend, of course, the replay is available, but if you have trouble finding it for any reason, if you go to my website, all right, you can find my website at ombreviews.com, ombreviews.com. You'll notice there's some different tabs up here to find other things, and you'll see there's a Raven Awards tab. Now, if you click on it itself, so you can see previous years, back in 2018, 2019, right? Crazy that we're now on our 6th Raven Awards. And if you click on that, it'll bring you to the page for the 6th annual awards for 2023. You can watch the stream right here embedded in the site that talks over the nominations. And then the video below that is the actual award show, has the link there too. And also, I have updated the PowerPoint slideshow on the website. So now you can actually just go through the entire slideshow that we went through this past weekend. So you have, again, of course, the title page. You got the nomination for Best One-Liner. Of course, we know Sound of Freedom was able to pick up a couple of wins. God's Children Not for Sale, of course, winning Best Quote of the Year. Gives you also the chart information there as well. Best Stunt Work, all that good stuff. Also, I'm pretty sure I fixed, oh, by the way, NPC of the Year, Rachel Zegler, very well deserved. Visual effects, Godzilla Minus One. That was kind of the start of the domination that would be Godzilla Minus One. 55.4 again. Massive, massive. I also was finally able to update, let me make sure, because I know I updated it. There it is. Show Chad Stileski for John Wick Chapter 4. I did fix that picture, so I forgot who pointed it out, but I did have the wrong person in there, but that has since been updated and everything. But anyway, yeah, check out the website if you want to look at the nominees and winners at your convenience. Michael Riggette says, loved the posters that were released today for The Fall Guy as tickets went on sale. Has a nice homage to the 80s with a fun vibe. Oh, I've not actually looked at that yet. Let me see if I can find them without going too crazy. And by that, I simply just mean without getting so off topic that I lose track of where I am. Let's see. Fall Guy posters. I can only go based off of what Google gives me. So I have no idea if those are the ones that I'm looking at or not. So anyway, I tried. I really did. Anyway, Snortapoopus, who is a member, says, I'm giving my early bedtime to be here. I expect a nice prime rib in payment. Oh, if I had the ability to give those away, I would. CM Chunk, what's going on, brother? Wendy Hunter says, I really enjoy the Ravens and I'm looking forward to watching a regular show. Well, hey, I appreciate it, Wendy. Yeah, it's a little bit more interactive. I'm able to stay in the chat a bit more, not having to focus on announcing the awards and trying to keep track of things like that. So again, welcome back to the main show. We got the man with the orange hat, who is also a member and has been a member for 44 months in a row. Orange hat, a legend here on the channel and also one of my mods. And says here, I find St. Patrick's Day upon us. What is the religious context of the celebration of St. Patrick? For those who don't know, it's not just about drinking. No, it's definitely not just about drinking. So this actually goes and extends out to all feasts, right? When you think about St. Patrick's Day, when you think about St. Valentine's Day, now just called Valentine's Day, all of these are rooted in the Catholic Church. All these are rooted in Christianity. And so it used to be, right, during especially the time in the era of Christendom, amazing time in history, you had these different communities, right? All of Europe, right, was Christian. And so what no matter what town you were in, what city you were in, what country you were in, there were different local customs and local traditions. And so typically certain countries would have certain connections to various saints, usually saints that had either evangelized in that location. It could also be that they were from that location, and so they became like a patron of that place. And so what ended up happening was that they decided to, when the feast day of that person was coming around, they would, as the name implies, have a feast, right? They would have a celebration. There are some areas still today where they will still have sometimes these week-long celebrations. I remember being down doing some service work when I was in high school in Mexico. And I remember, you know, we were there and we had noticed there was a lot of fun stuff going on. And then we found out it's because there was a feast going on. So there was weddings happening during this time and they had scheduled them because it was during this time of feast. Because, yeah, it used to be in the church and during Christendom especially, people were fasting for almost a third of the year, right? Fasting and abstaining from meats and from other food items to practice, religious temperance, right, self-control, used to be much more important in the lives of the faithful. And so this was something that at one point, of course, would have been commanded by the church, but over time it was something that people chose and people loved to do because it brought them closer to the relationship with God. But it then made those feasts that much more special because then on the feast of a saint, you could then say, all right, now is my time where I don't have to worry about fasting, where I can actually enjoy myself. But just like with anything, especially as the world has become less Christian, right, as the de-Christianizing of society has continued to happen, the secularization of society has continued to happen, now you see these secular elements being brought in, right? So that's why everyone goes out of their way on St. Patrick's Day to go get drunk, right? Because there's this false perception because of the fact that, yes, there would have been drinking on the Feast of St. Patrick and sometimes in some areas for the week celebration, right, or the multiple day celebration of the Feast of St. Patrick. And because of that aspect of celebration, you know, anyone from the outside would have said, oh, look, they're drinking, they're having fun, not realizing that that was not an excuse to get drunk. One could never overindulge, right? No one could ever fall into gluttony, right? Because that is against the entire purpose of it as well. It's, no, this is a day for us to not have to fast. meaning that we can not just eat regularly, but also have that little bit of extra too, as far as, you know, cakes and special items. So I think I talked about that already with regards to Mardi Gras, how Mardi Gras was not known as this time of debauchery, but no, it was a time when you got rid of all of the items that would have gone bad over the 40 days of Lent. So that's why you would have cakes. That's why you would have pancakes, right? All these other items in this way. And so the feast days were actually very similar. And again, that's why it's called a feast day. It's a day to feast. It's a day not to have to worry about fasting or abstaining. But you can't have the... So basically, nowadays, especially in American culture, right, we have the feast all the time. It's nonstop feast. And this is a big problem within our culture, is that we're eating all the time. We're snacking all the time. We're eating things that we shouldn't be eating. And Lent's a great time, especially since we're still in the midst of Lent, to think about, you know, okay, am I maybe going a little bit too crazy in these areas? Am I eating when I'm bored? So not to sustain myself, not to give myself energy, not to take care of myself, but am I just eating for the sake of it? Because I have nothing else better to do. It's a great time for us to say, maybe I should cut those things out, right? Maybe I should try to have greater self-control. Because if I have that time of self-control, it then makes the celebration that much more meaningful, that much more impactful. And also it's like I've now earned the ability to have a celebration. But yeah, so St. Patrick's Day, not a day that's excused for us to get drunk and to do crazy things. And it's sad that that's what the secular world has decided to take on and has reacted to with that day. Just like with any feast day, Halloween's another one. All Hallows Eve. Why? Because it's the eve of All Saints Day, literally the vigil of All Saints. That's why it's called Halloween. That's why it's called All Saints, or that's why it's called All Hallows Eve. This whole, you know, dressing up as monsters and things like that really just randomly developed out of it as time went on. It used to be that you might have people dress up as a saint, right? Might dress up in that capacity because it was a time of prayer before the day of celebration, because the Feast of All Saints is a feast. Hope that answers the question, though. Yeah, that was a very good theological question, a very good time right now for me. So sorry if I spent a little bit too much time on it, but you see, Gary Banjo Sandwich says, stunt dad needs to rest. Yes, yes. Clearly, because I hurt my back because I just do stunts. Super Anime Gamer says, what does your shirt say? Behold the sign of salvation. So this is in reference to the giving of the brown scapular to St. Simon Stock, Our Lady of Mount Carmel. It's from a company called Catholic T-Shirts. Yes, I'm a part of a club called Catholic T-Shirt Club, because one, I love T-shirts, and two, I'm unabashedly Catholic, and there's some really good T-shirts. This is one of the ones I like too. All right, let's see. Hardwick says, did you see the Oscars clip of Arnold Schwarzenegger, Danny DeVito, and Michael Keaton? That was funny. I think I saw in the video review of the show a reference to it and a short part of it, but I didn't really spend a lot of time with it. I just didn't really care. As I said, I really just don't care about the Oscars anymore. They just don't matter. Let's see. Master of Gaming, what's going on, brother? Mike Jackson, hail to you. Mr. Roy, there he is. What's going on, Mr. Roy? Glad that you were able to enjoy Tetris in the Discord server. See, Hardwick says, Godzilla movies are one of the few things that aren't better when they're made in America. Or pretty much almost anywhere outside of Japan, right? Or by committee, or by, you know, giant production companies rooted and based in China. Yeah, that's why MonsterVerse is just not good. Cthulhu, good evening and happy Tuesday to you and the chat. To you as well, Cthulhu. Glad to have you here. Let's see. Michael Burgett says, happy that my Blu-ray copy of Suzume came in the mail today. Looking forward to rewatching it again with the special features. Ooh, yeah. Mine got delayed because of there was a thing where I had the wrong card listed. And so I ended up having to change the payment method. And so now it's going to come in. One of the sets is coming in tomorrow. I've got more coming in over the weekend because obviously I've got one for myself, but then I also got a bunch that I'm going to give away. I can't wait to watch it, though. I can't wait to watch it again, to be able to watch it, the Blu-ray version specifically, and to be able to watch special features, too. John Evan Bear, what's going on, brother? Tad to say, I believe for the 2014 Oscars, they went with the joke that the Oscars are so white. I hated they hit us over the head with it. Okay, yeah. I mean, yeah, I forget exactly when that started, but that wouldn't surprise me. That really wouldn't surprise me at all. Cthulhu, thank God we are post-Disney propaganda. This is a year to celebrate entertainment freedom. We'll obviously find out. We'll definitely find out. Master of Gaming, gotta say, I did terrible at the Ravens bowling in 2022 and 2023. I forgot the Ravens and the Oscars is a popularity contest. That's any award show, Master of Gaming. That's any award show. And with that one especially, it was, again, you were trying to predict what you thought was going to win, not what you wanted to win. That's what your ballot was for, dude. And you didn't do that terrible. I think you ended up in fourth place. Because someone else ended up in fifth place. I won't name them. But someone did end up in fifth place. But yeah, you were not, again, that's any award show. Daniel Cantu says, thank goodness the best animated movie won, talking there about The Boy and the Heron. Yeah, that's a tricky thing for me because I know that the film Suzume technically got released in Japan in 2022. So I don't remember if Suzume was eligible for the Oscars in 2022 or anything like that. I don't think it did get nominated. Oh, wow. Wow, 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 wow. Okay. So, yeah, that's definitely something that ticks me off because it got nominated for the Saturn Awards. Not that Saturn Awards matter all that much. Got nominated at the Annie Awards. I guess a little bit better there. But and then it got nominated at the Golden Globes. But it did not get nominated at the Oscars for either of those years. So that to me is a travesty because, to be honest, I think Suzume is a better film than The Boy and the Heron. Don't get me wrong. I like Boy and the Heron quite a bit. Big Miyazaki fan. I thought that was a very good one. It's not the best Miyazaki film, though, that I've ever seen. And it definitely fell flat in certain ways. My other guest says, the two new posters were from the IMAX and South by Southwest ones. Gotcha. Shen Hong on Rumble says he got some snakes drunk too. I love the legend of that. It's such a fun story. It's like, well, yeah, there's no snakes in Ireland. Yeah. You can thank St. Patrick for that. Drove all the snakes out. No, but clearly he was a very effective and that's why I love St. Patrick. I have a very strong connection with St. Patrick. Not only there's a beautiful prayer that he wrote called it's called the Breastplate of St. Patrick or the Lorica. It's a beautiful prayer. It's the one that has at one point Christ beside me, Christ with me, etc. But the longer version especially is very, very, very beautiful. But no, what he was able to do, right? He was able to spread the gospel very effectively. And he was able to bring about the conversion of so many pagans to Christianity. And he is the reason why Ireland for such a long time used to be the standard bearer of Christianity. And unfortunately, it's, again, just like all these others, has become so much more secular. It really started back, long before even Vatican II, when the Catholic Church started to become a lot more focused on, quote-unquote, religious freedom. Because by doing so, what that meant was they were ceding the ground to other faiths. And by doing so, it brought the church down, and by bringing the church down in the minds of others, it caused the problems that we're seeing today. Because that grip was let go of, guess what? That's why you now have the laws that you do in Ireland and all these other countries protecting the destruction of human life. CM Chunk, I made sure to tag Rachel Zegler to tell her about her big win. Sadly, she didn't respond. Well, I hope that she enjoys it. NPC of the year. JS Pena, ahoy, ahoy to you. Appreciate you being here. Mike Jackson, what? Odin is Catholic? Inconceivable. Yeah, if you've been watching me for a while and you didn't know that, I don't know what to tell you. Because I've always been very vocal about it. I mean, the title of this video has Lent in it, too. By the way, if any point you see me wince, it's because now all of a sudden, the other side of my back. So I was already having problems with the lower left hand. Now the lower right hand is starting to seize up. Oh, man. Okay. Let me try to fix my posture. Maybe that would help. I don't know. As my little rosary. Why don't you want to stay? There we go. Can't move this thing around too much, otherwise it'll go away. All right, Super says, I know they don't matter much to you or to us, but seeing how much it meant to them, very happy for Cillian Murphy, RDJ, Christopher Nolan, and Wes Anderson. The Academy got a lot right this year. I mean, yes and no. Also, Wes Anderson won an award. I hope he didn't win something for the film that he had this year, because that movie was not good at all. Really hope he didn't win for that. Goodness gracious. Yeah, I mean, people can be happy, because at the end of the day, especially when you're one of these actors, you've been in the business for years. This has been your bread and butter. This has been the thing you've been most excited about your entire career. But when I think about someone like Robert Downey Jr., I think, okay, look, Oppenheimer's a solid movie, and he's great in it. But really, that's the role that's going to get him an Oscar? Are we honestly going to say that he gave the best performance this year in a supporting role? I'm sorry, but I think a lot of us could probably think of, it might take some of us a little bit longer than others, right? We can think of other ones that would have been better suited for that. And that's the other issue I've always had with the Oscars, is that sometimes when people get their win, we're so happy that they've won, right? I remember I felt that way sometimes too. But then when you think about it in retrospect, you think, well, yeah, you know what? They shouldn't have won for that role. They should have won for the roles that they were actually giving the best performance that they did. Because sometimes you have that happen, right? Where someone will give this amazing performance, but then someone else will win because it's their lifetime achievement award, essentially, right? It's like, oh, it's their moment. It's their time. It bothers me. And that's why one of the many reasons why I just stopped, because it started to become much more predictable in that way. Master Gaming, are you interested in Arthur the King, since you like dogs? I do like dogs. And I know that there is, oh goodness, I just looked that up earlier. And I know that we can recognize the lead actor in the movie, but yeah, I don't have a lot of interest in it, to be perfectly honest. Also, I'm going to call out Gary for a second, because I remember on the last FNT, he told us that our homework, or like right after he told us, no, it was on the show, that our homework for next week is going to be to go see the Society of Magical You-Know-What. And that happens also to be the same week that Ghostbusters comes out. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. The homework assignment that we're being given is to go see the Magical Society of Blank, and not priority being given to a film that might actually be fun, that might actually be good. Come on, Gary. Come on, Gary. I know that you sometimes watch these, but I'm going to call you out there. At the very least, say, I want you to watch Ghostbusters first, and if you have time, watch this one, because this one's going to be fun to talk about. But oh no, can't have that, can't have nice things, can't have nice homework to do. Let's see, Kimberly G. Yeah, I was last. Okay, she said it. I didn't say it. She did. Corey Cochran, what's going on? Welcome back. Harwick says, a lot of the choices I made in the Ravens bowling, the ones I thought would win, were not the ones I voted for in the Ravens, the ones I wanted to win. Yeah, I mean, that's how it's supposed to be. Hardwick, it's like if I were voting in the Oscars, the Emmys, the Ravens, right? It's not about what I think is going to win when I'm voting in my ballot, right? My ballot says, this is who I want to win. This is who I think deserves it. Whereas if I was playing Oscars bowling, Ravens bowling, I would say, okay, what do I actually think is going to win? How do I think the crowd is going to vote? And I think Hardwick made a lot of decisions because he sees the crowd, right? He's here most weeks. And he is able to see, hey, people really like this movie. People really like this movie. Started hearing people sharing what they voted for, too. Was able to pick up those context clues. Let's see. Super. Odin, the fact that Spirited Away and The Boy and the Heron are the only two hand-drawn films to ever win the Oscar for Best Animated breaks my heart. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That's a good point. And Super, we have to remind ourselves this point, too. That when it comes to Best Animated Feature, that award has not always existed. So had that existed back in the 90s especially, there would be so many movies with Best Animated Feature Oscars, right? I forget the year. It's either late 90s or early 2000s that category was finally adopted at the Oscars. But you would have had so many more. But that's also why it was so impressive whenever an animated feature was ever in contention or talked about in the Best Picture discussion. Or there was one year, I believe, over the last 24 years, where an animated film actually got nominated. Was it Toy Story 3, maybe? That actually got nominated for Best Picture in addition to getting nominated for Best Animated Feature. So we do have to keep that in mind, too, right? So it's not that, oh, these are the only two to win Oscars and that were hand-drawn, because there is that factor there where that award has not always been around. Let's see. Michael Brigette says, Susan Sarandon was eligible in 2023 for the Oscars, and it was on the shortlist but didn't make it to the finals. Are you kidding me? Wow. Wow. If you want to know even more reasons to hate the Oscars and to just boycott them like we've been doing for years, that is a great example of why that should be the case. Oh, my goodness. Because I remember offhand seeing some of the nominees. This shows you how completely out of it I have been, because I just, again, don't care. But let's see for the sake of it. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Okay. All right. Here we go. So get this right. Suzume, which was one of the best films that came out in 2023, did not even get nominated. But you know what did get nominated? Elemental. Look, Elemental is okay, but best of the year? Better than Suzume? Hell no, it's not. Nimona? Never even heard of it. Maybe it's good. Maybe it's not. Haven't ever heard of it, though. Robot Dreams? Again, the attempt by the Academy to try to bring in other foreign language stuff. Suzume as an anime should easily have gotten in there. And then Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse? I'm sorry. So you can argue that it's a B movie. Maybe you even think it's a solid movie. Better than Suzume? No, 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 no. No, 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 no. I don't think so. So, yeah, among these, for sure, Boy and the Heron, hands down the best. Hands down. And interestingly, am I reading that right? That the Super Mario Brothers movie didn't even get nominated? Wow. So yeah, Elemental gets in. Got to have a Disney Pixar film in there, right? Gosh. Again, political trash is what the Oscars have become. Forever Sci-Fi. I once got a perfect attendance award in elementary school. I made sure to miss at least one day a year after that. I'm not Cena. I don't like humiliation. Aw, man. No, don't say that. I was that kid too, but I actually wanted to get the perfect attendance award. That's just the kind of person I was. In fact, when I was finishing high school, I ended up finding out I was not getting it. So even though I had gone every single day to school, I had left a half day because a friend of mine, I didn't think I'd bring this up, a friend of mine had passed away. We were 18, and he died of leukemia. Rest in peace, Kyle. And I had left half day to go to his celebration of life. And so because I wasn't there the whole day, they held that against me. So it's a sore subject for every sci-fi. Whenever perfect attendance is brought up, because I'm like, oh, that's right. All right, Snorri Pupus. There never were any snakes in Ireland. They knew he was coming. Boom. The 2002 priest scandal didn't help Ireland and many other countries. Well, that's just a thing, the R, right? This is the issue that it comes down to, because that's a big reason for sure. But you have to go back further than that, okay? Because once you get to the 1970s, this post-Vatican II era, you have this massive decline in the church across the world. So that was the big start of it. You add on top of that the revelations in 2000 and the early 2000s about the abuse scandal, and then that's when you saw another massive drop as well. But all of it started back when that happened. And if you really think about, you know, both, but especially that last one that you just mentioned, think about what that is saying. Okay. So because of the fact that a small percentage of people in the church are scum, we're going to abandon the entire church. Essentially what it's saying is, okay, we're going to leave Christ because of Judas. There's not a lot of logic in that. Again, what I'm not saying is that we shouldn't hold them accountable, because we should hold them accountable. I'm not saying that we shouldn't withhold our funds from the church until something is done about it, because we should be doing that. But for people to just straight up and leave, again, you're going to leave Christ because of Judas? Just as that doesn't make sense, neither does that either. And I understand there's a lot more to it, right? There was that, obviously, the sense of being scandalized and feeling betrayed. I totally get that. But that is always something, when people bring that up, it always just grinds my gears. Let's see. Shen Hong says, you keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means. Sorry, got triggered, Shen Hong. Which thing did I mention? Which thing? Wes Anderson won for best live action short. Okay, gotcha. See, Super says, Wes Anderson won for the short film for Henry Sugar. It was released on Netflix. Maybe not his best work, but I really enjoyed it. Okay, yeah. I was thinking of Asteroid City. That's what I was thinking of. Yeah, not Asteroid Park, John Evan Bear. It was Asteroid City. Asteroid City was not good. Master Gaming, do you think One Life will make the top five this weekend? Haven't even heard of it. So I don't know. Master of Gaming, the Critical Drinker liked One Life. Okay. Super. I know what you mean. Bothers me too. They did that lifetime achievement thing with DiCaprio and Roger Deakins win off the top of my mind. Yeah, I mean, at least with the Deakins win, that was a good film. Like that, the cinematography in that movie, it wasn't his best, but it was still really, really good. With DiCaprio, I was like, no. Again, he gave a good performance, but he gave so many better ones where he should have won in previous years. I'm thinking even especially back to the Wolf of Wall Street year, because that actually was a much better performance than anything else. Orange Hat, fun St. Patrick info. My ancestors in Ireland were the first pagans to convert to Catholicism by St. Patrick himself. There's even a legend of how that came about. Dude, that's awesome, man. Dude, those are some amazing roots you got there. That's awesome. Yeah, as I said, I have a very strong connection with Ireland, obviously having a lot of Irish heritage myself, but also because of just how amazing St. Patrick is as a historical figure, how he is as a figure in the life of a Christian. And just when you think about his life story, right, being kidnapped by pirates, and that's how he was first introduced to the Irish, right? It's an amazing story. Carl Jacobs, you suffer for us by watching movies so we don't have to. That's true. Abomination over on Odyssey. What's going on, brother? Probably because Gary hates Patton Oswalt that much, he would rather talk about Trash Fire. That could be it. Kimberly G, next year I'll change up my bowling strategy. Yes. Never give up, Kimberly G. Never give up. King Kane Rumsky, when I vote for president, I vote for the person I want to win. But sometimes another person wins. Can you explain this, please? I love you, King Kane Rumsky. Well, you see, Mr. Rumsky, that's just the way the world works. Now, the better example, Mr. King Kane, would be you vote for the person you want, but then you go on to the betting odds, and then you bet on someone that you didn't vote for, but you're like, I think this person's going to win, and so I'm going to try to make a little bit of money off of it, and then boom. There it is. That would be a better one. Laura says, double feature? Magical Society of Ghostbusters? Yeah, I doubt I'll be able to do a double feature because I'm back at work next week. But that's a tough one for me, because the homework is Magical Society. But again, obviously, I buy my tickets online these days anyway. But for someone to actually go up to... I almost want to like go back to working at a theater just for that weekend, just to have people, because so many people still do come up directly to the box office to buy tickets, just to have someone honestly ask the question, can I have one ticket, please, to the 2 p.m. showing of the Society of Magical. And at the theater I used to work at, we actually kept a book, a ledger, as it were. And in the book, we would have the funniest name mess-ups for a movie. So you would have people walk up, and they would have no idea what movie they wanted. So, for instance, if it was a Kevin Hart movie, we would have people not say the title, would say, yeah, can I have that movie with Kevin Hart in it? And there was a time when there were two movies with Kevin Hart out. I think it was the year that the first remake, you know, sequel, reboot, continuation, I don't care what the actual title is, for the Jumanji films came out. There was another film at the same time that he was in. And so it was funny because then I was like, which one? Because there's a lot more than just the one that the one that you're thinking of could also be another one completely. Let's see. Cthulhu, trying to say, Nimona is Girl Power the movie. Ah, explains why that got in. But Suzume, and that's just the crazy thing too. If you wanted an actual story featuring a strong female character, Suzume has that. It's amazing also, if you really think about it, how many animes typically have strong female characters. And if you think about, is it Makamoto, who is the guy behind Suzume, Weathering With You, and also Your Name, all three of those movies have a strong female protagonist. Who would have thought? Guess what? If you have a good story with good characters, you can do it. Master Gaming added on, it has LGBT representation. Of course it does. Super says, your school did you dirty, and you absolutely should have gotten that award. I'm very sorry about your friend. Hey, obviously, it's been a long time since that happened. It's something where it's still sore, obviously, because it's like, really? That's the thing that's going to... But I'm very happy with how things ended. Obviously, I wish that he was still here, but at the same time, we got to talk a week or so before he passed away. We got to say our goodbyes to each other. We got to tell each other that we love each other. So having that definitely helped. And also, I knew he was a person of faith, and I knew that he cared very much about his relationship with God. And so I had a lot of trust and confidence in that. And I think that was obviously something that also was able to help. King and Remschke, the number one reason for the decline of the Catholic Church, two words, Novus Bordo. Yeah, and again, and that's not even, it's funny thing is that that's not even directly from Vatican II, because if you look at the documents of Vatican II, what you have right now in the Novus Ordo, which is the current Mass of the Catholic Church that most people go to on Sunday, you would look at the documents of Vatican II and say, these are not the same thing at all. This is saying, wait, this says Latin should have pride of place. There's no Latin in many of these new Novus Ordo churches. This is saying Gregorian chant should be used primarily. Oh, wait, it's not even being used at all. And there's several other things, too. And so, yeah, it's a big part of it. And that's why, as I said, after the 1960s, because there were other changes, too, that happened that were prompted by Vatican II, but especially after the Concilium, which brought about the new Mass, after the changes that were made to the sacraments, there were changes that were made to religious orders, too, and the charism of a religious sister. So many nuns left, because it used to be that they were always understood as the brides of Christ. But then that got dropped, basically. Like, the rules that structured them got changed by this modern wave, right? This modernism. And so, all of a sudden, you had a bunch of nuns saying, what in the world? Like, I'm giving up my life for something that is not actually the case? What in the world's going on? Yeah. Let's see, Victor Fontaine. Odin Campia was shilling the Oscars and how awesome they were this year. The highest ratings in 4 years, and the ratings will be even higher next year, he said. Kimmel was fantastic. Of course he did, because that's why Campia is nominated every single year for Shill of the Year. That's why he is always the bridesmaid, never the bride, because people know how much of a shill he is, but also people rightfully can't stand the guy. You think about his relationship with Robert Meyer Burnett, you think about the way he's treated geeks and gamers and other persons, and it's just like the dude needs help, clearly, especially after that rant he gave where he was in his backyard saying woke, and you're like, dude, what are your neighbors thinking about what it is you're saying right now, right? So it doesn't surprise me that he's shilling for it, because he's got to keep that access. By doing that, he's able to protect all of the access that he has. Maverick Guest says, one life has Anthony Hopkins. Ah, oh, okay. See, context is key, because I didn't remember the name of it, but Anthony Hopkins, okay. That's a movie then that I am actually absolutely interested in. One Life Has Anthony Hopkins. It's based on a true story about a man who helped get Jewish children to safety from the Germans in the late 30s. That's awesome. You had me at Anthony Hopkins, so I will try my best to see that movie when I can. Interestingly enough, I did watch recently, yesterday, in fact, I watched The Zone of Interest. So it's a Holocaust era movie. Very, very disturbing. I can't believe that it's the same person that did Under the Skin with Scarlett Johansson. I hated that movie with a fiery passion. I worked at a theater at that time, and I remember 20 minutes in, I had it was a mother and her adult daughter walked out and said, "We want our money back because this is so bad." And I'm like, "I don't blame you whatsoever." And yeah, 20 minutes in, you still have the ability to get your money back, and I don't blame you whatsoever. It was so bad. So I can't believe it's the same guy. But it has moments that are very brilliant. I have my full review over on Critiqlist for it, but I gave it a rad score because there were some very good objective elements and the way especially they use sound. It's basically about how a true story. There was an SS soldier, a Nazi soldier, who lived next to Auschwitz. His house, where his family, his kids were playing, was on the other side of one of the walls of Auschwitz. And they're living this normal life, pretending like everything's great, everything's fine. And the whole time you can hear the sounds of just the chaos. Now it's mostly silent. It's stuff that you can like pick up here and there, but it's very disturbing. Let's see. Shen Hong says, "It tells you the church is full of people and people are sinners. Jesus told us few will enter the narrow path." Agreed. Agreed. But also there are many that will not enter in, right? And even amongst the apostles, even amongst the people he chose, who he gave the power to bind and loose, which means the authority to make decisions, even one of them, Judas, failed. John Evan Baird had to say, "Bonnet ticket for Cabrini this upcoming Saturday." Nice, dude. I hope that you enjoy it. Again, it's not a perfect film. It's not a perfect film, objectively speaking. There's especially elements that look very artificial, look too much like green screen to me, visual effect-y kind of thing. But it is, I think, something that is a very great story of a saint living out the life of a saint in her life. Because the two complaints I've heard about it, mostly from Catholics, other Christians, is one, I guess both of these would be more so from Catholic criticism, but one, that it doesn't focus on her as a saint, as someone who prays, doesn't talk a lot about her faith life from a prayer perspective, right? Normally in the stories of saints, you see how their prayer life usually would be very rigorous and stuff, so they don't really show that. And then the other complaint, which I think is, that's the only valid complaint, I think, because, yeah, it would have been nice to see that. But the other complaint that people are just going off the rails with is saying that it's somehow a third wave feminist propaganda film. And it's like, are you kidding me? The film basically gives the tenet of the Catholic Church, which is that of complementarity, that men and women are different and have different roles. The line that people keep going to is that at one point, Mother Cabrini says the line, "Men can't do what we do." And I'm like, that's a factual statement, because men can't do some things that women can do. Women can't do some things that men can do. That's a statement of fact. That's a statement of the fact that there's a biological difference between men and women. There are certain things that men are naturally more predisposed to doing, and vice versa for women as well. And the fact that for her, what is her vocation? To go out into the streets, to bring the children in, to be a mother to children. Yes, guess what? That's not something that men can do. And so the fact that people are taking that and saying, oh, it's feminist, it's like, are you kidding me? You either, one, are grifting and are just trying to form an argument for no or little reason whatsoever, just for clicks, or two, you don't know anything about the faith. So I think it's, again, a very solid film, and that especially is great. Let's see. Laura, at 8:14, "In recognition of Odin's nearly perfect attendance, I present you with this e-trophy." Laura, thank you. I very much appreciate that. Yeah, and again, obviously, it was something that, at the time, was especially like, but the R, multiple-time perfect attendance winner. Nice. Green Gary, I don't know why I say green. Gary Banjo Savage Worthington. "Green Hat Leprechaun reviews coming 2025. Green Hat Leprechaun reviews 2025. I need context. Context. Hardwick, "Have you ever Googled the phrase 1992 space movie?" No, I don't think I want to. The fact that Kimberly G says no makes me not want to. Orange Hat says, that Society of Magical Blank is not going to taint my vision with its outright racism. I will pray for you as I can. Thank you. As I said, there's a strong chance that I'm going to see, because if I have to choose, if I only have, because again, my time is limited. So if I only have Thursday night to watch something and my choices are Magical Society or Ghostbusters, I'm watching Ghostbusters. I'll do what I can, but let's see. Makoto Shinkai, yes, Super Anime Gamer. That is it. Hose Otako, what is going on? John Evan Barrett had to say, the ending of the Iron Claw made me cry, especially just recently going through a death of my mother early this year. Oh, yeah, dude. And that's why I love it, because you have the dramas that are, you know, the chick flicks, right? The ones that are typically more for female audiences. And what do you have in the Iron Claw? It's a male dramedy. It's a male drama. It's a drama for guys, for men. That does not mean that women can't watch it or that women won't like it. But it's one of those things where guys, I think, will have a stronger connection to the movie because there is this dynamic, especially of brotherhood, right? How close these brothers were. And then there's also this relationship of father to son and all of the different complications that can arise, especially when the father figure has some problems, has some demons that they're fighting through. There's that element too of the mother, right? And how she fits into this role and how she reacts to the things that are going on. Such a powerful movie. That's a film I pre-ordered and I can't wait for the Blu-rays to come in. I think I got 4 or 5 of them because I was like, okay, I'm going to have one for myself, but then I gotta give it away. It was the movie I kept showing on the Discord server for the movie parties because I just think it's such a good film. Kiki Ramshiki says, do women singing folk tunes every 3 minutes count as Gregorian chants? No, they do not. No, sir, they do not. Man, those are the worst. Those are honestly the worst. Anytime you go into a church and you're there on a Sunday and all of a sudden you hear that like opening chord on the guitar and it's just like 1970s. And you think to yourself, Gregorian chant is timeless. People think of Gregorian chant, and they think, oh, that's the church. Maybe their mind will go to medieval. Maybe their mind will go somewhere else, right, time-wise. But most people, probably the initial reaction is, oh, that's the church. Or to be, okay, hold on. In the modern world, because we live in the era of Halo, that is where most people's minds would probably end up going, especially younger generations. They would hear like the, oh, they would say, wait a minute, that's just a part of Halo, isn't it? Not realizing, oh yeah, well, yes and no, right? Because Halo's theme, right? One of the Halo themes, was it Halo 3 or one of those, maybe all of them, had that element of Gregorian chant in their actual soundtrack, in their actual score. But yeah, typically though, people would have that mindset though, saying, okay, there's something sacred. It elevates the mind and the heart. And that's what sacred music is supposed to do. It's supposed to elevate the mind and heart. It's not supposed to bring us down and say, oh, that's right, it's all about us. It's all about us holding hands and putting our arms around each other and say hi to your neighbor, everybody. We're not there for us. We're not there for us. We're there to give worship to God. We can listen to that kind of music whenever we want to. It's supposed to be something that gives praise and glory to God. All right, Cthulhu. Wonder when we'll get a critical movie about how the Japanese, Soviets, and Chinese committed astounding atrocities. Oh, wait, wrong message. Mm-hmm. Laura says, I plan to catch the second half of Cabrini this Thursday. Highly recommend the movie What an Amazing Woman. Seriously, like, and that's what's so great about her is that even though I'm obviously coming at the film's analysis from a Catholic perspective, anyone who is Christian or has Christian sensibilities, I think will just be so moved by the fact that this woman gave up so much of her life just to help kids. And not just little girls, but to help all children. There's I think a lot of elements you can see, a lot of similarities between her and a Mother Teresa, right? With just how much they gave to take care of the poor and in the case of Mother Cabrini, to take care of poor children. and how important she was in their lives. And so that's why it to me is such an important film and why I hope more people see it. Wendy Hunter, busting makes me feel so good. let's see. CJM, just Googled 1992 space movie. What the heck? Oh boy. Super Anime Gamer, the Iron Claw gave me a new life goal. I mean, yeah, if I can, I will never look like Zac Efron's like physique, but you're like, oh my gosh, it's possible. Michael Forget, there's another film releasing next weekend I'm checking out besides Ghostbusters, is the indie film Sleeping Dogs with Russell Crowe and Karen Gillan. Ah, I hadn't heard of that. Super says, the Iron Claw gave me a new life goal. There we go. I want to meet Kevin Von Erich and just give him a hug. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. At first, I was like, is that the direction you're going with it? Okay. That makes more sense. Yeah. And you're just, and that's the thing, too, right? I won't say too much about it because obviously it's been out for a long time and the story is something that if you've heard about it, it's something that's well known what's happened to this family. But I will say, I don't think Kevin Von Erich, as tragic as his life is, I don't think he is in a position where he necessarily needs the hug. You want to give him a hug because of everything you saw, but then you're like, oh, wait, because it definitely ends on a message of hope. Hardwick says, 1992 space movie shouldn't harm anything, but saying the actual title live on stream could get you in trouble. Chris Gord Allening reviewed it, but without saying the real title. Okay. So are you saying that if I were to say the actual title of it, I would get in trouble? Or are you telling me the title that I shouldn't be saying? Really hope it's not the other one. Snortabubus Cuber says, think of all the variations of the 14th century dies irae have been used in movies and most people not even realizing it's Gregorian chant. That's a great point. That's a really good point, Snortabubus. There are so many worlds. There are so many songs. There are so many elements of chant that are a part of our culture, that are a part of our lexicon, and we don't even realize it. It's kind of similar to me, if I can give you a kind of a secular example, it's like Looney Tunes. People oftentimes, especially from my generation and the previous generation, anyone who grew up with Looney Tunes, who grew up with that, have a richer knowledge of classical music than anyone else. Because think about how many songs by Beethoven, by Bach, by all of these amazing musicians, all of these amazing composers were featured in episodes, right? And I think it was actually in Boy Meets World. There's a great episode of Boy Meets World where Mr. Feeny takes Eric to the opera. And at one point, he's listening and he falls, like, because at first he thinks he's gonna be bored by it, but then all of a sudden he starts to hear something and it sounds familiar. And then he's like, he's saying, I know what that is. And Feeny's trying to explain, oh yeah, this is from blah, blah, blah. And he's like, it's Bugs Bunny. Because that's where he heard it. He heard it for the first time in a Bugs Bunny cartoon. And it's like, think about how high a level those cartoons were. I know that the history of cartoons is that they were initially not even made for kids. They were the things shown before a movie. Even that makes me like, man, to be a fly on the wall and live in a cinema in the 1940s and 50s, you go in, you get a little newsreel maybe, and then you get some cartoons, all in preparation for your movie. I would prefer that any day over the, hi, I'm Maria Menounos, and I'm going to talk to you about my new podcast. If you've ever been to a movie early, you know what I'm talking about. That's what I feel like it is every single time. It's movie, there's so many different ones, Front and Center. And you're like, no, I would rather just have like classic, mostly unbiased newsreel and cartoons. That would be a good thing to have. Let's see. Victor Fontaine, Odin purchased my IMAX Ghostbusters tickets for Saturday. It's not looking good for that movie. It is only IMAX showing that day at my AMC 20, and my tickets are the only ones sold. Yeah. Also, though, we have to remember this. I think some people, we sometimes put too much reliance on pre-sales. Pre-sales are a good indicator, right? Especially if pre-sales are very good. Okay. That can tell us a lot about an opening day, opening weekend. It does not guarantee the long run of a film. It also doesn't guarantee that those tickets won't have more people buy them. It used to be when films were much bigger, pre-COVID especially, but when the films were a lot better, more consistently from major studios, people would buy their tickets long in advance. A lot of people don't do that these days. There are still some, absolutely, but not always. Even though it's still 2 weeks, a little less than 2 weeks out from its release, I don't think that's that strange. I would instead, if you were looking at that to have a better gauge, I would say, okay, maybe look at the Thursday night IMAX showing. I'm not saying it's going to be great. I'm not going to be saying it's going to be nearing selling out, but it is still something that needs to be considered. John Evan Bear says, yeah, you should not say the title of this movie. Okay. The actual title has no words. Oh, gotcha. Laura says, oh my goodness, don't Google that. Oh boy. Harwick says, I meant that Googling the phrase is harmless in and of itself. Just don't say the real title. Ah, gotcha. Well, if it has no words in it, then why would I say it in the first place? You know me. Let's see. King and Remsky, Bugs Bunny is the goat. Darn right. Laura says, I watched two of the three episodes of The Walking Dead new show. Very good so far. Focuses on Rick and Michonne. Nice. Yeah, I mean, I gave up on Walking Dead years ago, so I don't really have an interest in jumping into this one either. What I will say is I finally have watched Shogun. So I caught up on the three episodes, and then they just released the fourth one last night / this morning. And so I've caught up on that as well. I think I finished the fourth episode. Maybe I still have a little bit more. The point is the show is pretty solid. There unfortunately are a couple of scenes that feature completely unnecessary. Again, it's always unnecessary. But there are certain ones where you're like, oh, come on. You did not need that. It added nothing to the story whatsoever. And usually that is the case universally. But there's times where I think even people that don't mind that as much have to say, okay, come on, really? And there's a couple of those moments. In the first episode, they have it. And then in the third or fourth episode, they have it. Much more egregious in the first episode. But I'm thinking to myself, like, you don't need this. The writing and the characters are good enough to where you don't need that. It doesn't amplify anything. It doesn't improve anything at all. If anything, it just detracts. It detracts, it distracts, it does all the things. The one criticism I have of the show is actually the actor who plays the main white lead. Because there's one Englishman who is a Protestant. This is the other interesting dynamic why I probably like it. I'm going to be interested to see where they take this, because basically it's as much a movie about Japanese culture and the death of a leader and the potential rise of this new shogun, right? And like that's a very interesting dynamic. But then there's also this other one, because there's this English Protestant pirate who was trying to find this area. Like there's so many different things you don't know about him yet. But essentially he shows this nonstop hatred for Catholics. I think he even calls them at one point a bunch of like papists, but he uses some much more vulgar words. And the Catholics in Japan at this time are the Jesuits. So that's another interesting dynamic, because I'm like, oh man, what the Jesuits used to be versus what they are now, how far it has fallen. But there's a lot of really good things in Shogun. So just early review of that. Icthulhu, they Reddit that cartoon before the movie for a couple of years in the 90s. It was glorious. Oh man. Laura, a few orchestras play live to Bugs Bunny cartoons. Seems like a fun show. That does sound fun. Snorapoopas Cuber says, Maria Menounos and 30 minutes of trailers for movies I have no interest in might just cause me to time my movie arrivals for the last minute from now on. Seriously, man. It's a great point. Yeah, I mean, obviously, with having kids, I'm not usually getting to movies early anymore. Usually, I'm trying to get that 7 o'clock time. The issue for me is that my son goes to bed at 7, and it's not fair for me to try to put him down, you know, put him to bed that much earlier than that, because that's just not cool. So usually I'm hoping that there's like a 7:15 or a 7:20 showing if I want to go to my theater that has my IMAX screen. But luckily I don't have that problem anymore. But man, I just remember that happened all the time. And I'm like, oh, here's Maria Menounos again. And then she like followed you because then at random gas stations that have like the video screens, sometimes she pops up there. And you're like, Maria Menounos, leave me alone. I don't know why you're famous. I don't know why you're a thing. Leave me alone, Maria. Victor Fontaine says, agreed, Odin. Good point. I assume whatever it was a good point. Kimberly G, I never buy advanced tickets. Oh, I think it was about the advanced tickets. I never buy advanced tickets because I never know when I'll be off of work. Yeah. You know, don't, as the brilliant and phenomenal, philosophically rich writer, director, producer, all the things, Tommy Wiseau once said, we'll see. I don't know. Let's not plan too far ahead. It may not turn out right. It's so true, though. Don't plan too far ahead because it may not turn out right. Wendy Hunter, have you survived so many Salty Saturday shows? How have you survived so many? That's a good point. Oh, believe me, I wear my emotions on my sleeve. So I'm sure that it's been pretty clear whenever there's topics that get brought up and I'm like, okay, get me out of here. This is, no, just stop it. Stop it. Especially this past week where a topic was brought up and I was like, look, I'm going to be blatantly obvious about this and try and be honest. Killy Chow, where you been? Killy Chow, never usually late. But appreciate you being here. Everyone's doing fine. My back, on the other hand, is not, so I might be having to wrap things up soon. Super says, granted, I'm not the type to go to the theater every weekend, but the only time I buy advanced tickets is if it looks like the showing is 50% sold out or more. Yeah, I mean, usually these days, the earliest I buy a ticket is the week of on the Monday and Tuesday. And normally there are enough seats left where I can usually get a pretty good seat in an IMAX showing of a film if they have it. The only time recently where that has not been the case was actually for Dune Part 2. Because Dune Part 2 sold very, very well. And I guess just before we wrap anything up, maybe to talk about that a little bit, because I believe it is in the title. And I try to always bring up what I can with the title, with Real Box Office Talk. And so what I will point out then, just to kind of wrap things up, is this article here. So I did write an article over on GeezyGamers.com, so check out my box office breakdown over there. I talk about Kung Fu Panda 4 and Dune Part 2 dominating. But I also talk about how, is Kung Fu Panda's box office really that impressive? All right? And I hopefully get my point. It says, rather I say, can't believe I'm a writer now. Much of the talk surrounding Kung Fu Panda 4 is that the film saw the best domestic opening weekend for the franchise since the first one came out in 2008. Though Kung Fu Panda 4 had a strong opening, the historical facts tell a different tale. When you adjust the domestic opening weekends for inflation, Kung Fu Panda 4 ends up being the third best opening weekend behind the first film's $86.4 million. So that's the adjusted opening weekend domestically for the first movie. And the second film's $65.6 million. If you break it down by ticket sales for anyone who gets triggered by inflation, the newest film actually had the lowest of the entire franchise, with each film selling roughly in order of release, 8.3 million to 6 million to 4.7 million to 4.4 million. So I find that interesting because Kung Fu Panda 4 indeed actually had the lowest opening weekend of the entire franchise, looking at average estimated ticket sales. People oftentimes forget about that. The fact that Kung Fu Panda has been seeing consistently lower audience numbers with each entry in the series is, again, very obvious at this point. The latest film undoubtedly had a strong opening, but not nearly as strong as many in the shill media will try to sell you on. That's why I always try to be honest with y'all with these numbers, right? Because these are the things that aren't talked about by Tony over at Deadline, by Becca over at Hollywood Reporter, right? Because they would rather try to paint this picture of the world that doesn't actually exist. So even though, yes, Kung Fu Panda 4 did well, it's probably going to make its money back. It's probably going to make some profit. But let's stop the whole, oh, it's the best thing since the first movie. Box office-wise, no, not really. Because whether you go the inflation route or you just go average tickets, guess what? It's not up there. And then I also break down how Dune Part 2 is doing, and I make reference to the fact that this is a very interesting thing that I found. Now, again, I have not looked at the new adjusted numbers because there's always adjustments that happen the days after, but as of Sunday, this was what was the case. Calculating some quick math, this means that Dune Part 2 is only about 9% behind Oppenheimer's worldwide. I mentioned this before. Oppenheimer was around $400 million by week two worldwide. Dune is only about 9% behind that. If that separation holds, right, if that 9% separation holds in the following weeks, what that means is that the film could actually, Dune Part 2, could actually hit upwards of $864 million. Now, personally, I think that there is going to be a separation. I think that Oppenheimer is going to increase the divide, right? I think Dune Part 2 is still going to hold strong, but I do think it's going to start to lose premium screens. It's going to start to also have competition in the same genre space, audience space, especially when Ghostbusters comes out and later on when Godzilla comes out too. There's going to be a lot more competition down the road for the film. But it has to be said, I still think most likely, again, historically, $600 to $750 million seems like the more likely endpoint. But to say that the film is completely out of its depth to ever get to 850 plus is not true. Because right now, the numbers indicate that's an absolute possibility. There's a lot of things going wrong for it. Again, it's still about $100 million in the red because it is having a lot of money from the internationals where it only gets 40% of that cut. But if you want more information about that, check out my article over on geeksandgamers.com. All right, let's get through some last comments and then we'll wrap things up. All right, let's see. Super says, Shogun looks right up my alley, but I'm too lazy to sail the high seas and too poor to get Hulu. Darn, dude. Well, I don't know what else to tell you. Let's see. Laura says, The Protestant Pirate sounds like a good musical. It's the sequel to Pirates of Penzance, I guess. Kimberly G., Odin, I was just going to mention she's on gas station videos. Yes, I know, right, Kimberly G? Like, you're pumping your gas, and all of a sudden, hi, I'm Maria Menounos. It's like, Maria, go away. No one wants you here, Maria. Hardwick, they should have cast Maria Menounos as Elektra in season two of Daredevil. She has actual Greek heritage and is a better actress than the one they picked. I don't know about that second part, but okay. Michael Brigitte, I have AMC A-list, so I typically will reserve tickets early, but sometimes the showtimes don't post until the Wednesday before opening weekend. Yeah, I have AMC A-list too, and one of the reasons why I don't do it as early is because I don't need a perfect seat. There's a range of seats that is going to work perfectly for me. Everyone's a little bit different, but the issue is when you buy a ticket so far in advance, it takes up one of your spots. And so it means you can only get two more films. And so there might be another film on that's better. Iklulu says, what's going on with the ticket sales lately? Hopefully that answered that question. Laura, oh, hi, Mark. Oh, hi. Master Gaming, I'll change my bowling strategy. Yep. Steven, is your lower back... Is it your lower back that's a pain? What happened to be using a relief back pillow to help? So it happened last weekend where the left side of my lower back was in pain. Obviously, just like a pulled muscle, probably from when I was playing with baby Thor. I mean, again, it's three. He's wild. So, you know, we do the typical, you know, father, son, wrestling, crazy stuff like that. And so I'm sure at some point when picking him up or something, I must have tweaked it. I'm getting a little bit older, and so that becomes a little bit more commonplace. The issue for me was that lasts a long time, but now during this stream, the right side in the same spot is starting to act up. So I probably need to take the pain med that I got from the doctor earlier. Let's see. Super, my IMAX showing for Dune 2 was sold out. I can't tell you the last time I was in a sold-out showing. Made my heart very happy. Yeah, same. Because whether you like Dune Part 2 or not or care about it, the fact that any movie is able to do that still is very impressive. Forever Sci-Fi, I'm enjoying Shogun, but having listened to the book on Audible, I can see why they cut out a lot of Rodriguez's lines. Okay, interesting. Yep, Odin be achy. I do. Snorri Pupus, I'm going to be listening to an audiobook of Dune so I can remind myself of what was changed for the movie. Yes, I recommend that, actually. The main audiobook that I got for it, I liked it for the most part. There's some weird choices they make. They have acted pieces with different voice actors, and then they have the same voice actor like you would have normally doing voices and stuff. But then it just randomly will cut in with the cast. I don't quite get the logic there, but still, I think it's a pretty solid book. But yeah, it helped me a lot too to be like, oh, they changed quite a bit, especially the character of Chani. Oh my gosh. Steven, do you think we will see a Kenobi season 2? I sure hope not. Kingarovsky, what happened to that guy on stage, live theater, who said he was going to do math with a flashlight? Okay, first I was like, wait a minute. Oh, man. Wait a minute. You're right. You're totally right. I totally forgot to play this before the clip. What I meant to say was...
I'm going to see a real math magician at work!
It's from an off-Broadway play called Puffs, and it's actually really funny. It's a completely not endorsed by Rowling whatsoever, but a fan production about, basically, think about Harry Potter, only think of it now from the perspective of the Hufflepuff. So now it's like it's meant to be like the chosen one of the Hufflepuffs instead, but obviously they have to change some of the names, and so they just call them the Puffs, and... I love it. I love that clip too. As soon as I saw that, as soon as I was working on stuff one day, and I was like, you know what? This would be a really good clip to use. This would be a really good clip to use. So in one hand, it's a flashlight, but it's actually his wand. So, and the whole joke with his character is that he has an American accent because he was born in England and his parents weren't, and he was actually sent to this prestigious school at 14 years old because he was a genius in math, but then he found out he was a wizard, and so then all that got taken away because then he had to be a wizard. And so he's like, I was really good at math, and now I have to be a wizard. And then he's not doing as well. It's pretty great. It's really actually really funny. It's a really funny show. It's on Amazon Prime. It's available, actually. I recommend it. If you're a fan of Harry Potter and you don't mind fan films or fan plays or stuff, you might actually really like it. A lot of references in there. My wife, who's a huge book fan, loves it too. Her sci-fi. Shogun is also on FX if you have cable. Yes. It's a lot trickier to watch then in that instance. Cthulhu. Yeah, you have a wonderful night as well. We're going to be wrapping things up. Michael Burgett says, Sony just announced that the official title for Venom 3 is Venom The Last Dance. Last Dance. And opening on October 25th. Interesting. Wendy Hunter, have a good night, and I hope your back feels better. I do as well. Thank you. I hope that the medicine helps. Kili Chow, thank you. Snore Poopus, that sounds like a movie trailer. Baby Thor, he's 3. He's wild. He's killing daddy by stages, pretty much. Yes, that's right, Abomination. Math. Kid Get Rumsky, that's the stuff. It's like a drug for you, huh? Do you show your students Bill Nye the Science Guy? Nope, because I don't teach science. Super Anime Gamer. Chani and Alia were changed the most from what I know. Aaliyah, I'm listening to the first book right now and I'm enjoying it so far. Yeah, I mean, but Chani, like I said this before, they made up a whole new character and then just slapped the name Chani on it. Like it's nothing. Keely Chow, in Scott Steiner voice. They say all movies are created equal, but that's not the case here on OMB Reviews. I need to rewatch that clip just to get a better interpretation of that. Kimberly G, have a good one. On Asian fan fiction that just wants to entertain people with love-filled reimagining, practically unheard of lately, and that's why I recommend it, because it's just so good. What do you think about the Villeneuve Zendaya Cleopatra movie announcement? Oh, Zendaya's in it? No, thank you. Steven, I hope they do Excommunicado to Drunk 3PO on Geeks and Gamers Daily. He sucks on presenting box office. He can't read numbers. We ever show up and take over. The issue with Daily is that it takes place during work. So if I'm ever off like I am now, I could be. But I don't think it's my right to just say, put me on your show. So if they ever ask and I'm off, especially when it comes to summer, we'd love to come on and talk box office. We'd love to. But got to be invited, and they got their own schedule going on right now, and I'm happy writing my articles over at Geeks and Gamers, so check those out. But anyway, I do need to head out because my back is starting to hurt, and we've gone just about as long as I normally do. And so please make sure you smash that like button, light up the fire button, I smash the rumble button as well on the way out. Hope that you enjoyed the Ravens this past weekend. Again, check out my website, ombreviews.com. Check the Ravens tab. Just click on it. Don't click on any of the things that come down. Just on the main one, bring you over to the Ravens for 2023 movies. And you can see all the nominees, winners posted there. And check me out over on geekygamers.com as well. Anyway, you guys are all amazing and beautiful people. It'll be interesting next week or two. Make sure you join the Discord server. I am trying to see if anyone just tag me in the ideas for movie streams if you are interested in watching anything this week, especially while I'm off. So that way I can try and get some more watch parties set up for those that want it. Anyway, you guys are all amazing and beautiful people. Have a wonderful rest of your evening. And as always, God bless.